Right, now turn to song number 455. Now we will look to Ron Hosteller for our devotions.
Good evening. Greetings each one in Christ's name. For a devotional, let's turn to Psalms chapter 96. Psalms 96. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. I think that we as Christians, we need to live our lives so that we do have a song on our hearts, and that we can, those that we can come in contact with from day to day, that they can see Jesus in our lives. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nation are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. We know that the Lord made the heavens and all the wonderful things that he did create and make. It's hard to believe that man can be so twisted that he thinks that this all happened with a big bang. We know that the Lord has created it and all the, and he's still in control of the heavens and our whole universe. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Can we give God the glory that's due to Him? I think that, you know, we as Christians, we can give our all and do our best. But even that falls way short when we think of the greatness of God and what He has done for us. Can we truly give glory due unto Him? It says, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. And then shall the trees of the woods rejoice." See here that if man doesn't give God the glory, his creation will. And do we see God in the little things of life, the things that are around us? Do we see God in it? Or do we see it or take it for granted that it's just hills, trees, mountains, or whatever it is? Before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth, and he shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. We can be thankful that the Lord will judge us with righteousness and with truth. You know, we can ask sometimes, what is truth? But the Bible is full of truth. And God knows our hearts, and if we love the truth, I think He will show us the truth if we seek it. I think one of the fastest ways away from truth, if we are full of ourselves and try to promote self, then we will fall short of what is truth. With these thoughts, let's stand for prayer.
Oh, come, oh,
I'm sorry. Oh, let's start over.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your feet in His excellent word. What for
10, you're going to be in the chorus. And I won't be your chorus director, don't worry. But okay, now, you tell me something. What is one of the most important things about... How do you sing? You tell me how you sing. Can somebody tell me? What's important about singing? Besides, glorify God, okay? Sing for God. But what... How do you sing? You just kind of like that. You open your mouth. You sing loud. And you know what? I like to hear when the children sing because children usually like to sing louder. And I am glad. Now, let's just act like we're out on top of a mountain somewhere. And we've got lots of mountains around us and we're all by ourselves. We won't worry about these people back here, okay? And the only one that we're singing to is God. Let's just sing for all we're worth, okay? Sing loud. Open your mouths. And do that for the rest of your lives, okay? Remember that when you're in the chorus. That way, Andy doesn't have to always get after you. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Okay? Good. All right. Let's sing a song. Let's sing a familiar song first. Let's sing the song, Jesus Loves Me, okay?
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me.
Really nice. All right, now let's sing I've Got Peace Like a River, okay? Do we all know that song? Who knows the song? Okay.
I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river in my soul.
I've got joy like a fountain,
I've got joy like a fountain, I've got joy like a fountain in my soul. I've got joy.
I've got love like an ocean, I've got love like an ocean,
I've got love like an ocean in my soul. I've got love. joy, love like a river. I've got peace, joy, love like a fountain. I've got peace, joy, love like an ocean in my soul. I've got peace, joy, love like a river. I've got peace, joy, love like a fountain. I've got peace, joy, love like an ocean in my soul.
Right, who has a song? Who do you think how do the little birds sing? They sing nicely. You know what? From the beginning in the morning, they are singing. And who are they singing to?
God.
Who?
God.
God. That's right. I remember when we were in Belize, they would get light early down there and be laying in bed, and there was trees outside and our windows would be open. You know, those birds would start singing early, and they would sing and sing. I think they sing louder there than they do here. Times. Okay. Let's sing the birds upon the treetop.
The birds upon the treetop sing their songs. The angels chant their chorus all day long. The flowers in the garden stand their hues tell. Wash and tuck, wash and tuck, praise him too.
Okay, somebody else has a song? Another song? Okay, why don't you spread out just a little bit? Let's do the motion for it, okay? Okay. Why don't you go one step forward a little bit? That way the ones behind you can pound, okay? Okay. Now let me ask one question first. Who is the temple? What is the temple that it's talking about?
God.
All right, well, it's talking about ourselves and the church. That's the temple, right? We are the temple of God, okay? We're building each other up, okay? Let's sing.
Building up the temple, building up the temple, building up the temple of the Lord. Say, brother, won't you help me? Sister, won't you help me? Building up the temple of the Lord. Building up the temple, building up the temple. Building up the temple of the Lord. Say, brother, won't you help me? Sister, won't you help me? Building up the temple of the Lord.
All right, now, one more song. Who can tell me? There was a verse that Joe talked about this morning in his message that is very familiar. In fact, I think it's the last verse he read, if I'm not mistaken. Can somebody tell me? We know it by heart. We know it by memory. It's found in Ephesians. What's the verse that's found in Ephesians that we know well? Ephesians 4, verse 32. Can you tell me that verse?
Be kind one to another.
That's right. Be kind one to another. That is such an important thing to remember for all of us. Not just children, for big people too. Okay, let's sing that one again.
Be ye kind one to another, be ye kind. Be ye kind one to another, be ye kind. Ephesians 4:32, that will tell you what to do. Be ye kind one to another, be ye kind.
Amen. Okay, you can go back.
Says fresh courage.
One reason you start singing when you're young so you can sing when you're old. And I think they made a good start on that. Let's turn over to 216 in the church hymnal.
Now the day is over, night is falling down. Around Will too much after the service this morning, but somehow we did get together again, and he asked if I had to say a little bit about this and admonished it, maybe not make a topic out of it, just say a little bit about it. So we'll see if we can do that. We'll take you back to the year 1910, which would be just 102 years ago. And here's a scene. If I can find a place here where I'm supposed to be. The year is 1910. The place is Perth Amboy, New Jersey. And a hackman stops there to pick up two passengers. One is a middle-aged clergyman. The other is a withered old crone, apparently blind, ravaged, and wasted almost beyond belief, bent nearly double with age. As they go along, however, the hackman, he's listening a little bit to what these two are discussing, and they're discussing kind of a theological point. And as he hears her speak, why, it's not quite like someone out of Grimm's fairy tales, but there's someone here with a high, clear voice and mellow and young. Far from the senility that one might expect in one so venerable, she must be more than 100, the lady's mind is as fresh and young as her voice. After a bit, this clergyman just notices that the hackman is listening, so he speaks up and he said, "This is Fanny Crosby, the hymn writer," he says. The hackman is stunned. He stops his horse, takes off his hat, and weeps openly. Getting himself together, he proceeds to the depot where he searches for a policeman and finds one. He introduces the old woman to him. "This is Miss Fanny Crosby that wrote Safe in the Arms of Jesus. I want you to help this young man get her safely to the train." The cop is stunned. "I sure will," he says. Then he says falteringly to the little old lady, "We sang your hymn, Safe in the Arms of Jesus, last week at my little girl's funeral." As he looks at the ground with reddened and shining eyes, Aunt Fanny takes his enormous arm in her skinny hands and says with great feeling and tenderness, "My boy, I call all policemen and railroad men my boys. They take such good care of me wherever I go. God bless your dear heart. You shall have my prayers, and tell your dear wife that your dear little girl is safe in the arms of Jesus. With these words, the constable broke down and wept openly. Fanny Crosby was born in 1920, March the 24th, I believe, and her name was Frances Jane Crosby. I don't know why that would have gotten changed to Fanny, but evidently it did along the way. Her mother's name was Mercy Crosby. Her father was a Crosby also, before marriage and after. Her parents were probably cousins. There was a Crosby family. It was a large family in the New England states, pretty well dating back to some of the original people that came over. Within months, Fanny's father died, but before he died, they noticed that something is wrong with her eyes, and so there was in an effort to do something, they couldn't seem to find really a doctor, but there was somebody that thought he could do something to help, and he put a hot poultice on her eyes, which pretty well ruined them. And she survived with scars in her eyes that never were able to be repaired, at least at that time. Perhaps the day they could be, I don't know. She could see some light, the difference between light and darkness, but as far as reading, she couldn't do that. So, her grandmother Eunice, it's interesting that this name comes up again, especially took it upon herself to help this little girl in developing her memory, and would read the Bible to her and so on. And then sometime later, when she was maybe more like 8 to 9 years old, they moved to another place, and another lady there, a Mrs. Hawley, decided she would try to continue with Fanny's education. And so she put her on a pretty strong memory work with the Bible. And she gave her like maybe up to 5 chapters at a time to memorize. And by the end of 1 year, she had memorized the first 4 books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. And this writer says he doesn't know for sure, but it seems possible that that included all the begats and everything else in there, because this lady was pretty strong that every word of the Bible is very important. At the end of 2 years, she now had all 5 books of the law as well. The first year also included the 4 Gospels. But in the second year, she still had all of that, had included evidently the book of Deuteronomy, as well as many Psalms, all of Proverbs, all of Ruth, and that greatest of all prose poems, the Song of Solomon. Quite a poem for an 8 or 9 year old, I would say, to learn. Well, of course, Fanny eventually did get to go to school for the blind, but she never did really learn to do the Braille reading very well. She just depended mostly on her memory. And with that profound memory, whenever she wanted to read the Bible, she would just recite a piece of what she already knew, basically. She wrote very, very many poems. She started at a very young age to write them, and of course at school, where they worked very hard at fine-tuning this, and it took some doing to get some of that done. But she would write a poem for every special guest that came. If a president or if someone important was coming to visit the school, and maybe some that weren't important, she would usually be just asked to quickly write up a poem, and she would. She'd just spoon them out. So I don't know. There must be thousands of poems that she wrote. We remember her songs have endured well in our congregations. You'll find them in our hymnals. The church hymnal and Christian hymnal both have a nice amount of them in. I don't know if they're all exactly the same ones. Didn't get time to really check that out. But anyhow, she went to school and was doing well there. And then her mother remarried. This is something that I thought you might find of interest. Her mother's name was Mercy, and she remarried a man who, when Fanny would have been maybe in her teens, there was a big disaster in their family, because his second marriage, the man was influenced by Mormonism, and he headed out to find Joseph Smith and Illinois and got there just in time, about the time that he was killed. But he followed Brigham Young on out to Utah and never returned. Never returned. Never saw him again. So that was kind of a big disaster that happened in their family, something I certainly didn't know about. As Fanny kept growing older, and she would, you know, eventually she got to the place where she was would write a lot of hymns, and you should be aware of this fact that, you know, in every person that's of great use, there are often some imperfect things in God's heroes, and there certainly were in her life. She wrote very, very many poems, secular as well as gospel. And her secular poems were set to music as well, so many of them. In the Civil War, she was not a non-resistant person. She was quite militant, and she wrote strong songs that were so strong, such as feeding the opposing side musket balls and powder. I forget what the expressions were, but even this writer that seems to have done a great work at trying to write a documented biography of her life said they were just so strong it's hard to understand from a person that was almost saccharine sweet, whose life was almost like saccharine sweetness. But so she had her problems and she had her hang-ups, and theologically as well. But she did develop her memory, kept working at it, and she wouldn't take a lot of extra credit for it. She did say later in her life, says, I believe that the greatest blessing the Creator ever bestowed on me was when he permitted my external vision to be closed. He consecrated me for the work which he created me. I have never known what it was to see, and therefore I cannot realize my personal loss, but I have had the most remarkable dreams. I have seen the prettiest eyes, the most beautiful faces, the most remarkable landscapes. The loss of sight has been no loss to me. In her memory work, she would memorize as much as 40 poems and then simply get someone to take them down as she dictated them. Can you imagine that? With the long top of all the work of keeping up maybe this memory work of the scripture and so on like that. Fanny also had some other things that we would probably find difficult to reconcile. One of them is she never became a member of a congregation. She loved the Methodists. She loved the Catholics. And one of her most favorite ministers was Henry Ward Beecher, a well-known, eloquent man. I'm not sure just which congregation he would have been with. He was also a brother to Harriet Beecher Stowe, who, as you probably remember, wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin and that beautiful song, Still, Still with Thee. Also, she is considered to be one of three of the most prominent figures of evangelical influence in the last quarter of the previous century, let's say in the 1900s. The other two that are ranked with her are D.L. Moody and Ira Sankey. So she was not moving, what should we say, in Anabaptist circles. However, her songs have been appreciated. And I don't feel like, you know what, to me, some of these imperfections and some things that we would really have a lot of difficulty with, there's more yet that we would, especially this one. She was, she was so much more than a hymn writer. She was also a preacher and lecturer. She would address audiences up to 2,000 people. It is said that when she spoke at a church, people would be lined up outside for a block waiting to get in. This is that woman. This is that blind girl. And in her time, many people were surprised that blind people could even learn. They were so surprised. You mean you can learn and you're that way or whatever? So those are some of the things that they worked through. And also, one of the big things that Fanny also struggled with a lot was this thing of her personal experience. And in one of the particular meetings that she was, she went up several times in this one particular week of, or whatever more it was of meetings. And I think the third time when she went up there, it seemed like she did find that experience that she was looking for. And that was, in her her background of the Puritan, Calvinist type of background, this personal experience was considered very important. And I think the Calvinist people were particularly beset by some of these because of some of their own things that they had, such as their cold services. And Fanny, of course, gravitated, as you can see by her song, she gravitated towards something that had some feeling, some emotion with it. And those are in her songs. And those songs have endured. They've been a blessing to us. Maybe I'll conclude that with that. And just maybe we could sing. I'll just tell you some of the songs that she has written. Oh, there's one other person. Let me tell you this one yet. One of the main hymn writers that she wrote with, a couple of them, these songwriters of that day were people that had music, but they had no words. They needed someone to give them words. Well, Fanny could just crank them out. William Bradbury, the one that wrote the tune To Jesus Loves Me, if your children remember that. That's one of the musicians she worked with, and he gave her, as a test, a song that had a very difficult meter and everything. Just he played it for her or sang it. I think they played it for her, and she listened to it, and in a day, well, she had words to go for it, and they were just completely surprised. And William Bradbury said, well, as long as he's living, she'll have a job. Well, he didn't live too long. But after him, there was a man named Howard Duane, and with him, she also did the same thing, and as well as other musicians. And you need to understand also that sometimes these people gave her a dollar or two for producing a poem, and then they considered that they owned the song. So that was the royalty she got. And she was a person that gravitated towards the poor, and her songs were intended towards railroad men and street people that were poor. And this Howard Duane, when he went to look for her, he found her in his tenement, I think it was in New York City. And he got there, and the people of all nationalities and colors that were looking out at him as he was trying to find his way up to her little shabby little dwelling. And here this door opened, and here was this little woman with green glasses on and a crucifix hung around her neck. And she said, I'm looking for Miss Fanny Crosby. And she said, well, that's who I am. I'm glad to meet you. Anyhow, they had a relationship then that went for a long time, for over 40 years. She wrote words for his songs. And I noticed in the church hymnal of the 11 songs of Fanny Crosby, 8 of them are by this man, this Howard Duane. But there may be other songs that she's written for various authors that she never even has gotten credit for. Safe in the Arms of Jesus has been mentioned. Interestingly enough, the song Tread Softly is written by these two people. Since that's often used in one of our weddings, why, you might find that of interest. I'll just read you the songs quickly. Tread Softly, 'Tis a Blessed Hour of Prayer, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, Near the Cross, Safe in the Arms of Jesus, I Am Thine, Take the Name of Jesus with You, Rescue the Perishing. And the other three, Holy is the Lord, and All the Way My Savior Leads Me, and 398, which is Blessed Assurance. Maybe we could just sing one of her songs that I really love. That's All the Way My Savior Leads Me. And let's sing the one in the church hymnal, which is slightly different than the Christian hymnal. And we'll conclude with that. These words, I think, are just beautiful. I think she did have a way with words and has been a blessing to many of us. If you've been sitting a while, why don't you all stand while we just sing this verse, this song.
Oh, all the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, move life and be my God? Heavenly peace, divine is to dwell, for I know.
Father's side. usually pitch this down about a half, so I guess we'll do it again.
So the spacious firmament of high, beneath all the blue and blue sky, in spangled hands and shining rain, and a vision of proclaim the
Thank you.